everyone, and welcome back to the Before It's Too Late podcast. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Brooke.
And we're here today with a dear friend and mentor of mine, and an old friend of Brooke's as well, Lori Adachi.
Hi.
Hi, Lori.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. Yeah, thanks for having us in your office, too. It's so cute.
Yes, it's adorable.
No one else can see it, but if they did, they would agree.
Yes. Lori, do you want to tell everyone what it is that you do?
Sure. I'm an educational psychologist. Mm-hmm. I started off being a school psychologist working in schools, and then I got my license and went out into private practice, and I've been doing that now for over 20 years.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
That's great. We wanted to ask you some questions so that our audience could get to know you better, because we know you pretty well. We like to think, at least.
Yeah.
My question for you was, if you could have been born in any other country, what country would have you liked to grow up in?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think I'm fascinated right now with Paris, so I guess I'd go with France, which is kind of interesting because I don't know that I know it well enough. But I really liked it when I went to Paris, and I enjoyed the history that is there, the architecture, and the kind of the cross-cultural experience that I was noticing there, as well as the language. It's just so pretty.
Yeah, it is. French is beautiful. Mm. I wish I would have taken French in high school.
Really?
Yeah, it's a beautiful language, but I'll probably never go. So.
I'm a diehard Spanish girl myself, so I don't
Spanish
know.
Is also a good one. It's very useful that mm-hmm. I did True. Take in high school, and I only remember two things.
And those are?
Bacon and pencil sharpener.
The important things.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's really all I need.
So France. Well, you also would have grown up with great food, so that's
True.
Another plus.
True.
Yeah. Brooke, Very did you cool. have a question?
I do have a question. Lori, I wanted to know, what is your favorite worship song, and is there any particular reason why you chose that song?
I was taken, and this has been a while back, with Laura Story and her song Blessings, and just all of the words in it. It just became very important to me around that time, and then it was probably maybe a year, 2 years, maybe it was even longer, that my husband passed away, and it became very, I don't know, it gained so much more in meaning then, and so it just has stuck with me as a very favorite song.
That's awesome. Very cool. Laura Story is a great worship singer. I like her a lot. Alrighty. Well, Lori, would you like to start us off with your testimony?
Sure.
Awesome.
So I grew up attending Catholic Church, and twice a week I went to catechism, religious classes. I was doing the right things on the outside, but I learned very little. I believed in God, I knew about Jesus and the idea of the Trinity, but I didn't know God, and I had little faith. I grew to feel uncomfortable in church, which turned into avoidance, faking sickness, that I was sleeping so I didn't have to go on a Sunday morning, and eventually my persistence won out and my parents gave up. So we stopped going to church when I was in my early teen years. I was a good kid, I was pretty compliant and responsible, but like most teenagers, the popular group was on my radar. So in high school, I was anxious to belong. I joined the drill team, the cheer squad. I was on the school newspaper, and I held student body office. I wanted to experience high school to its fullest, and in doing so, my values began to slip. I wanted to maintain my good girl exterior because I still thought of myself that way, but my desire to be part of the cool, popular group led to parties and everything that went with it, including compromise. I met my husband in high school. After graduation, we began hanging out with his friends, and as my friends were beginning to move on to other things like college, the partying became a daily reality. My desire to experience that cool life in high school was now becoming my adult lifestyle. We married and we started our careers and our family. I began to think about religion and where that fit in my life, and I wanted to know what the Bible had to say. Amazingly, though I left God, He had never let go of me. He continued to pursue me, and through a neighbor, my children and I eventually started attending Faith Community Church. My commitment to Christ came when I took a hard look at the choices I was making in life, never feeling satisfied, and the utter despair I felt soaking in the negativity at my job. My attempts at fixing things in my life was not working. Anxiety crept in frequently. I knew all the psychological ways to manage the anxiety, but I didn't want to just manage it. The weekly pastoral teaching began to touch my many struggles in specific ways, as if the pastor was talking only to me. More and more, I was drawn to the Bible for answers. I clung to Matthew 6:25, which says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious." And in verse 33, it goes on to say, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." I knew my life had to change, and trying to do it of my own accord was futile. I needed the saving grace of Jesus. In 2013, my husband died of a sudden heart attack. My church family surrounded and supported us. Just as relationships with friends and family can grow stronger during these difficult times, so did my relationship with the living God. It is that relationship and faith in His plan and goodness that keeps me grounded now. The years since have taught me how to trust God. I panicked when I found out there would be no meaningful monthly income from my husband's pension. I had no idea if I would be able to keep my house. I had to trust God and His control because I didn't have any control at that point. Through constant prayer, God gave me peace. Romans 5:3-5 says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. I am now trusting in God's perfect plan. He alone gives me strength to endure. He provides for me. He takes care of me. I am a loved child of God."
That's awesome, Lori. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
I remember when your husband passed away.
Yeah.
I've been good friends with your daughter for a very long time, and actually both your daughters. And I remember hearing that he had passed away, and then I remember going to the funeral, and I remember just being blown away by your faithfulness and just your trust in the Lord and His faithfulness back to you. And I remember, like, hearing that after he had passed, you just kept saying, you know, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," and that stuck, that like hit me deep, and that stuck with me for a long time. And that was what, like, later when I was looking for a mentor, thinking on how you had trusted the Lord in that is what led me to ask you to be my mentor in the first place, because I saw just how much you loved and trusted the Lord, and I was just like, man, I could learn a lot from someone like that. So I'm really grateful to hear your story again, and just, you know, I hope you know how loved you are, and just, you really are an incredible woman that I look up to.
Oh, I so appreciate that.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for Lori, Maddie?
I have a couple questions. Really kind of just one that I was thinking of in the beginning of your story, for maybe those who don't know or understand, what would you say is the difference between, like, Catholic teaching, the way you grew up, and your faith today?
That's a great question.
My experience in the Catholic Church was a lot of being, the word that comes to mind is preached at, but I don't even know if I would put it as preached at. and remember that this, you know, was quite a few years ago, mm-hmm. but there was a lot of Latin and a lot of rituals, and I learned those really well. I can repeat those now, even to this day, but there wasn't a lot of teaching that was said that was meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't own a Bible during that time. I think I had what was called a missal, if I remember correctly. I'm not sure. Something like that. Anyway, and it was like a small little book, but it wasn't the Bible. And I remember as I went through my adult years, it was like, but what does the Bible say? I didn't want to know what man said. I wanted to know, what does the Bible say? And obviously that was God and God's direction. But that was kind of my experience with Catholic Church. So it was kind of a show up, be there, go through the motions, leave. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing that I was really bringing back and making my own.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a deep internalized faith.
It wasn't, at least for me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
Did you feel like, and in your experience, that led to, because you talked about, like, you still viewed yourself as that good girl exterior, even when, you know, you were out partying. Do you feel like that led you to view yourself that way? Just that background, or, you know, how did that come in? What, like, why do you think you still viewed yourself as with that good girl?
I think I definitely was brought up with that idea of boundaries and rules. Mm-hmm. You do this, don't do that. You know, and that part stuck. The rules stuck until I became a high school student, and not so much. The rules were still there, though, in my head, and so there was a lot of kind of just that internal conflict of should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I. Mm-hmm. But, I, you know, like I said, I was being pulled into that crowd of wanting to belong, and therefore I... Certain things I held on to and held firm, but I was certainly around a whole lot of stuff that I shouldn't have been. Mm.
That's a great answer. I have a quick question. This is a question I ask a lot of people because, to me, I know I would find it helpful, but and I know other people will too, but... Are there any books of the Bible or any other Christian books that have helped you, that helped you grow in your faith and also understand Christianity better when you were just becoming a believer?
Oh gosh, now I gotta go back. I think like I said, with the verse in Matthew, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, because so much of it in the Gospels are going to be repeated, right. Matthew is where I landed. Mm-hmm. So that's just where I kept going back to in my earlier days. And I would say initially, I remember having Bible studies and such put in front of me, and I kept coming up with reasons why I could not do Bible studies. And then I don't remember where along the line I finally caved and put my toe in the water for a Bible study. And then I can't remember specific books, but I know that I went to some very practical ones. So some on like marriage and how to become a more godly wife. And I can't remember what that book was called now. I have it at home, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But I loved Beth Moore. I went through a lot of her series, her video series and such. And I loved her zeal mm-hmm. for the Lord, her passion, her positivity. So I went through many, many, many of, her books and the study on that. And then there was another one, which I don't remember if that one is a Beth Moore, to tell you the truth, but I have it here. And this one, you know, it is a Beth Moore, Breaking Free. Hmm. I really loved that one. A very amazing timing for that particular one, hmm. where just really, truly understanding that I guess understanding the freedom that we have in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Really kind of making that tipping to my early ideas of all the rules and all of that to the freedom that we actually have in Christ, and really understanding the connection in the Holy Spirit and the way the Holy Spirit works in my life and in my heart. So that was a big one.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I have another question. You talked about, like, you knew all the techniques to manage anxiety. And I feel like anxiety is a good theme to describe what our modern society is like. And just, like, what a lot of people wrestle with, myself included. I've wrestled with a lot of anxiety. And so you talked about managing it, but it came down to, you know, learning and loving God and trusting in Him. So how can you, like, what are ways that you would recommend, like, trusting God daily as a practice?
Oh, very good one, very good one. Mm-hmm. I've actually been revisiting that one again lately, because I constantly need to revisit that one.
Yeah, that's an awesome question.
I know, you know, again, I know the techniques, and I immediately go into just relaxation and deep breathing, and I know how to slow down and blah, blah, blah. But there is a tendency to think is a key word there, that I got it, I'm fine. And yet that anxiety is still down deep.
Right.
So then I have to really address it. And the only way that, other than a situation changing, which, you know, let's face it, situations don't easily change. The only way to deal with it is to go back to, how much am I in the Word?
Mm-hmm.
How much am I reading the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
How much am I having conversations with other believers? How much am I in prayer time and communing with God? I think I am, because I have conversations with God all day long, but it's not quite the same as bringing those feelings to God, putting them at His feet, and just bowing before Him and letting Him handle things. And with this whole quarantine that we've been in and such, I've been very aware of this push-pull.
Right.
Between, I totally trust the Lord. I know the Lord has this. I've prayed many, many times. I feel confident in the Lord. I don't think I'm fearful. And yet, I'm constantly from the world getting all this information about it's going to be bad, and it's going to, you know, we're going to go backwards, and, you know, people are dying, and, you
right.
know, and I'm not saying that that isn't happening, but I can't let that control my life. And it's hard, because it sits there, and even though I think I'm not paying attention to it, it goes inside the body and it starts to take over again. So
right.
back in the Word I go.
You reminded me of a Bible verse. That's 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, which is, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you."
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is kind of what you're saying. You know, if we bring ourselves before a mighty God and we lay our cares before Him, He does take care of it. He might not solve the problems immediately, you know, not everything's going to disappear, but He somehow provides the peace we need to handle it.
Absolutely, and that's the correct way to be looking at it.
Yeah.
That's encouraging. So are there any words of encouragement or advice you'd want to give to anyone else who has maybe lost someone close to them, or been in your position of losing someone in their family or someone they're married to? Is there any... just any, like I said, encouragement or advice you'd want to give to those people?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Cling to the Lord.
Yeah.
I know it sounds strange, but when my husband, he died of a heart attack, and he was passed out on the floor of my bedroom, and all the emergency personnel were around him working on him, I had to move back to the other side of my bed. And I was standing there And I so felt the presence of Jesus Christ next to me and holding me. Mm-hmm. And I won't forget that. I know that he was there in whatever way that I to me it's a visual. I don't know how that actually was, but to me, he was there and he was with me, and I clung to that. And it made all the difference. Obviously, you know, the craziness of getting to the hospital and, you know, just everything that is happening is just like this out-of-body craziness. And certainly the surrounding of my church family right from the beginning was incredible, but I just immediately held on to the Lord. And that made a huge difference. I had such peace. Not that it was easy. I'm not going to say that I was just suddenly, oh, I'm fine. No, I still went through everything.
Right.
But I had peace. That night, you know, this all happened in my bedroom. That night, my son said, don't sleep there, you know, sleep in a different room. And I didn't need to. I could sleep in my room. I was completely comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to me. Because in my early anxiety before I was a believer, my biggest fear was death and dying.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it had no impact on my peace.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I slept well from that point on. I was okay. Now, the following year, I wrestled with God. We had our talks every day.
Mm-hmm.
I would walk my dogs and we would have our talks. And I would, you know, try to wrestle through the whys and the wherefores and all that kind of stuff. So it doesn't just magically go away, but cling to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Makes all the difference.
It's that wrestling that grows us and makes us stronger.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
I don't have the answers. I never got the answers, but I did get the peace.
Mm. And you grew.
I grew.
Yeah. How would you mentioned, piggybacking off of what you said, you mentioned that rejoice in sufferings, and how would you encourage those people who are hearing your story to rejoice in sufferings?
Mm. I think that's one of those things that from way back, I can remember probably early on in my walk with the Lord, that when I would hear about those things, about clinging to the Lord and rejoicing in those difficult times, it kind of became a mantra for me, like something that I would go to. It was in songs, it was in the Bible, it was just... Like, those were the things that really resonated to me, because being a grown-up, walking through life is not easy. There's always stuff going on, whether it's financial or with friends or whatever it is that you're going through. You go through stuff. But to go through it alone is miserable. To rejoice knowing that the Lord will use it for your growth is amazing. It's a whole different way of looking at everything that we go through.
Right. I'm done with the questions. So if you have any more, go for it.
I'm really grateful for you, Lori, again. And thank you for coming on the podcast and talking with us and sharing your story.
Yeah.
I know it's really encouraging for me, and you've been a huge encouragement to me outside, just in everyday life. And
yeah.
I think, you know, if there's a takeaway for all this, it's that, you know, just because there's bad things doesn't mean we shouldn't trust the Lord. You know, there's joy in trusting the Lord through the hard things, and there's joy in knowing that He loves us and cares for us and provides for us. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, right away we don't get the answers we're looking for, or sometimes we just don't get them, period. And finding that, like you were saying, clinging to the Lord and in His presence, and knowing that it's going to be so much sweeter in heaven, and
yeah.
going to be so much more worthwhile knowing what we've been gone through while on earth, you know?
Absolutely. It's our hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. The testing of your faith produces endurance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you so much, Lori. This has been awesome, and your story is very encouraging, and I know a lot of people will find it very encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah. we really appreciate you coming on and letting us invade your workspace.
Thank you so much. I hope that it makes a difference for somebody out there.
I'm
sure. Touches their heart.
I'm sure the Lord will use it. Yeah. And you have a very soothing voice as well. You have probably one of the most soothing voices we've had on the podcast.
Just a very calming presence.
It's my therapy voice.
You've perfected it over the years. It was a magic to it.
Well,
we did have an announcement.
Oh, yes. Do you want to do it?
Sure.
Okay.
So we just wanted to announce that we are putting out a playlist on Spotify that has a collection of the favorite worship music and songs of people who have been on the podcast. So that'll be a resource for anyone who's looking for music to listen to be an encouragement, or just wants to hear songs that have helped other people walk through their struggles. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll be putting that out pretty soon. I think maybe around the same time.
By the time this episode is up, I'll have one up.
Yeah.
As long as everyone responds to me.
So we'll send it out, and we'll keep updating it as it goes along, as people add in their favorite worship music. So yeah. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finger guns.
Alrighty. So we will see you on the next episode, which should be in 2 weeks. Hopefully, we'll find out.
See you then.
If what you've heard on this podcast is foreign to you or maybe doesn't make sense, we deeply encourage you to Google the website heartcrymissionary.com/gospel and click on the first link. We love you, and we're praying for you, and thank you so much for listening.